Ladies, if you go to the Old Testament and find the book of Daniel, book of Daniel, that's where we're going to start this morning. We're going to be in some other scriptures as we move through the message. But Daniel chapter 6, familiar Bible story. Several years ago, I did a little survey of the church and asked for their favorite Old Testament stories. And I kind of had a feeling that the two favorite would be David and Goliath and Daniel in the lion's den. And I was right. And if I remember, I think this was the most favorite of all the folks in the church, Daniel and the lion's den. And we'll talk just a little bit about Daniel. We won't get so much in the lion's den this morning, but just a little bit about him. Talking about building our relationship with God. Let's stand together, please. We're going to read the first five verses of Daniel chapter 6. The first five verses of Daniel chapter 6. We'll read these responsively, meaning you'll join me, if you would, on verses 2 and 4. I'll read 1, 3, and 5. Our Bible says this: It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, forasmuch as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Let's pray together, and then we'll enjoy a special. Dear Father, I pray that you'll open the eyes of our understanding this morning to the truth found in this passage and the ones to follow. God, give us a ready heart to receive your word. I pray, Lord, that young and old alike in salvation would take the good word of God this morning and bury it deep in the heart. And Lord, that it may come out in our practice, that it would help us to build our relationship with you. Lord, that's our primary relationship, our relationship with you. May it be what it ought to be, please. Help us this morning. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated.
Open your
song this morning. Thank you, Brother Tom. Beautifully sung. I want to speak on this subject, be faithful to God. Simply, that's it. Be faithful to God. We're talking about building our relationship with God on these Sunday morning services. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the proper order of that relationship, worship, walk, and work. Maybe you've given a little bit of attention to that in your daily life. Start every morning by just a brief time of worship. Tell God, Lord, You're my God, You're my my Master, I'm Your servant. I want my life to bring You honor and glory today. Nothing, that's the greatest way to start your day. Every morning, okay? Worship, walk, and then work for God. Last week we talked about put your trust in God. I think the most key element in any relationship is the element of trust. And like the songwriter said, we sang the song a moment ago, those who trust Him wholly, completely, all the way, find Him wholly true. So put your trust in God. Simply this morning, we're talking about building a relationship with God. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that he was found faithful. They couldn't find any fault against him. I forget what verse exactly it says that in verse number 4, I believe it is. Yes, for as much as he was faithful. For as much as he was faithful. So I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, be faithful to God. Dear Father, help me this morning. It is impossible for me and the power of my flesh to be a help to anybody. And that's the purpose of preaching. It's not to, Lord, make some show of knowledge, be a mighty small show if that's what it was. Lord, it's to help people. Reach out this morning through the power of Your Spirit and with the tool of Your Word. And Lord, really bless somebody's heart. And help somebody this morning. I'll thank You for it. That's my desire, my prayer. And I make it in Jesus' name for His sake. And amen. Yellowstone National Park in Wyoming. Favorite place for families and folks on vacation. How many of you have been to Yellowstone National Park? Put you in. Oh, a good portion of the crowd. Yeah. Hope you all can go someday. Hope they take gas back down to about $2 a gallon so you can afford to go. My goodness. It's beautiful. Inside the park is a cone geyser that shoots anywhere between 3,700 to 8,400 gallons of boiling water to a height of anywhere between 106 to 184 feet. It's incredible. Now, the remarkable sight lasts for anywhere from 1.5 to sometimes occasionally as long as 5 minutes. Now, the geyser is unbelievably predictable. The intervals between those eruptions can be calculated by how long the current eruption lasts. For instance, if you're there and you see one of those eruptions and it lasts for 1.5 minutes, you can almost set your clock 50 minutes later, it'll erupt again. If you're there and the eruption lasts for 2.5 minutes, you can almost set your clock 65 minutes later, the next one will take place. And it's unbelievably predictable. Now, there is a misconception that the geyser erupts every hour on the hour. That's simply not true. The geyser usually erupts anywhere between 21 to 23 times a day. And that averages out to almost one per hour, not quite one per hour. And even though the every hour on the hour is a misconception, the geyser erupts regularly and consistently enough, and has since they discovered it in 1870. The Washburn expedition went and discovered, I don't know if they discovered it for the first time then, but they named it in 1870 during the Washburn expedition. And the name that they gave it stays today. You know what it is. Old Faithful. Old Faithful. We saw it. Had the privilege of seeing it. Okay. Unbelievable. Old Faithful. Now, we read about a man in our text this morning who could be nicknamed Old Faithful. And that man is Daniel. And I use the word old because he is. When you get to Daniel chapter 1, Daniel is a young man. He's a very young man. But he's been in the Babylonian province now for many, many years. When you get to Daniel chapter 6, he is anywhere between 80 and 90 years of age. He is, if you let me say it, he's a gray-haired veteran. Old in that sense. Still faithful.
Old Faithful. At the time of Daniel chapter 6, King Darius, he decides to kind of remodel and remake his government. And so he selects 120 men to rule as princes over the kingdom. Now, these 120 had three men over them. 1, 2, 3. And Daniel was considered the first of those three. Daniel was one of those three and considered the first of those three. So you got Darius, and then you got these three men. We're not told the other two men's names. One of them is Daniel. And I guess if you figure it out, each one of those men had about 40 princes that was accountable to them. And so here's the 120 princes. And then up the level to the three presidents. And Daniel is the first in that line. And then King Darius. And the Bible says that he had intentions of making Daniel preeminent. Okay? He had intentions of making him the number one guy in the land. Now, this aggravated, this infuriated these Babylonian presidents, these Babylonian princes. I mean, here was a Jewish man. Here was an Israelite. He wasn't born in their country. He didn't know that. He came over in an invasion. They brought him back as a captive. And now he's going to be number one in all the land? And so this infuriated these presidents and these princes. And these 122 men decided that they were going to stalk Daniel. And they were going to find anything and everything they could on him where he was violating the laws of the kingdom. And then they were going to run to the king and say, hey, guess what, man? Your so-called first president, he's violating the laws of the land. He's done this, this, and this. So they put a 24/7 stakeout on Daniel. You know what they came up with? Nothing. Nothing. How would you like somebody stalking you 24/7? I wouldn't want somebody stalking me 24/7. Trying to find anything and everything they could to use against you. That's exactly what they did here. And you know what they said? The amazing thing they said in verse number 4. Look at it. Read it again. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. They couldn't find any fault. Neither was there any error or fault found in him. Why? Because he was faithful. Then said these three men, and said, okay, we've got to figure it out. Here we go. Verse number 5, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel. And understand what they're saying here. Except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. What? They searched and searched and searched to try to find something against this man as far as his obedience, his allegiance, his loyalty to the kingdom. They found zero. They got their heads together and they said, you know what? This is after watching him and watching him and watching him. They said, the only way we're going to find anything against this man is if we create a law concerning the law of his God. Now, folks, by implication, what does that tell you? He was not only faithful to the laws of the land, he was also faithful to his God. If we can create a law, if we can dream something up, if we can make something illegal concerning the worship of his God, then we'll have him, because just as much as he is faithful to the laws of the land, he is that much, if not more, faithful to the worship of his God. In essence, Daniel was a faithful man. That is the characteristic that we're going to look at this morning. Daniel was faithful to God. This is another one of those key elements, along with trust or attributes, that means so much in our relationship to God. Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Look, I don't have to stand up here and define faithfulness to you this morning. We all understand what faithfulness means. You know, we say about a man, he is faithful to his wife. We say about a woman, she is faithful to her husband. We don't mean that being faithful to a spouse does not mean that you rarely entertain a relationship with another woman or another man. That's not what it means. Being faithful to your spouse means you never entertain a relationship with another woman or another man. I mean, how many men would be satisfied with their wives being faithful 364 days of the year? Well, come on, honey, look. I was faithful 364 and only unfaithful once. Oh, that's okay. You know what? Yeah, that's right. The great law of averages. No, come on, folks. No. No man's going to like that about his... No woman's going to like that about her husband. What do we expect? We expect faithfulness 100%. And that's exactly what God is. We're talking about being faithful. Being faithful to God means that we are loyal to God. We are true in our allegiance. We firmly adhere to the duties of His service. Not sometime, not most of the time, not 99.5% of the time, but we exercise faithfulness to God all the time. I cannot stress this morning, I cannot stress enough the importance of faithfulness in our relationship to God. Being faithful to God. Now let me attempt to show you its importance this morning, give you four thoughts, and then we'll close it up. First of all, faithfulness is important because God considers it important. God considers it important. Now, without turning to it this morning, let me give you scriptures. Now, I know what happens when you do this kind of thing in a sermon. People listen for about 2 minutes and then they lose their train of thought. So I'm going to challenge you, stick with me, okay? Are you ready? Stick with me. Do it on purpose, okay? Numbers chapter 12, verse number 7. God said about Moses, "Who is faithful in all mine house." Now, you're not going to get there, folks. Don't turn to it. I'm going to be gone before. I'm just going to read until you and go. 1 Samuel 2:35, God said about Eli, "And I will raise me up a faithful priest." In Nehemiah chapter 9, verse number 8, God said about Abraham, "God found his heart faithful." In Psalm 101, verse 6, God said, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land." Matthew 24 and verse 45, Jesus said this, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" Matthew 25, verses 21 and 23, Jesus said these words in a parable, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." In Luke 16, 10, Jesus said this, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." In 1 Corinthians 4:17, Paul said, "I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord." Did I lose some of you? Have I lost some of you? Are you already gone? Are you with me? I said you got to do it on purpose. Are you with me? Okay. All right. So now we're at 1 Corinthians 4. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 21. Paul said about Tychicus, he called him a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord. Colossians 1, 7, Paul said about Epaphras, a faithful minister of Christ. In Colossians 4, 7, Paul said about Tychicus again, a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. Colossians 4, 9, Paul said about Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother. In 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul rejoiced that Christ Jesus counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. In 1 Peter 5:12, Peter called Silvanus a faithful brother unto you. And in Revelation 2:13, Jesus said about Antipas, he called Antipas my faithful martyr. Now folks, if you hung with me, over and over again from the Old Testament to the New Testament, God emphasizes faithfulness. And can I say, when something is mentioned over and over again, the weight of those mentioning. Look, if the Bible mentions something one time, it's heavy. Because there's no coincidence in this book right here. God didn't waste space. So if it's found one time in here, it's weighty. So what does that make it if it's mentioned over and 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 over? What does that make it if it's mentioned over and over again? Real heavy. Tremendously heavy. God is emphasizing here something that is important to Him. Evidently, God considers faithfulness to be of extreme importance. And can I suggest to us this morning that if faithfulness is important to God, it ought to be important to us? That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's not deep, but I'm going to tell you something. It's profound. It'll change your life. Be faithful to God. Why? Because God considers it important. Be faithful to God. God considers it important. Number two, these are so simple, it's pathetic. Number two, God is faithful to us. Is He not? Sure He is. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 9. God is faithful to us. This is why we ought to be faithful. This is why faithfulness ought to be important to us. It's important to God, number one. Number two, God is faithful to us. I love this verse. Paul, writing to the Corinthian people, says in verse number 9, very simply the first phrase, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. By the way, this is not the only place in the Bible that tells us God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7, 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God. Watch it. The faithful God. 1 Corinthians 10, 13, but God is faithful. 1 Peter 4, 19, God is called a faithful creator. Folks, this is part of what makes God who He is. He's faithful. You know, we wouldn't be happy with a God who was faithful, you know, 99% of the time. We wouldn't be happy with a God like that. You know, and by the way, can any of us in this room, can any of our human predecessors, those who have preceded us in this life, can any of us or can any of those from history past accuse God of being unfaithful? That's over how many years? 6,000 years of time as we know it. God has proven faithful, faithful, faithful. Not most of the time, not 99%, but 0.9% of the time. Look, none of us would be confident. None of us would be comfortable. None of us would be secure in a God who's 99% faithful. We're going to allow God that 1%. Well, what if He's unfaithful, that 1%, when you really need Him? Now, we don't want a God like that. Nobody wants a God like that. God is faithful to us. Now, since God is, this is what, by the way, this is part of what causes us to trust Him implicitly. Because He's faithful to us. And so, if He is faithful to us, then of course we should be faithful to Him. That's why we should be faithful. It should be important to us to be faithful. It was important to Daniel. It's important to God because God has said over and over again, faithful, 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 faithful. And God is faithful to us. And I want to show you a third reason. I'm going to spend a little bit more time on this one. Number three, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Another reason why faithfulness is important. Faithfulness is required in regards to the succession of truth. Faithfulness is required in regards to the succession of truth. I'm going to explain this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Use a little illustration up here. Some of you have seen before. But we will do it again. Okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. You there? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Here's what he's writing to Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, what Paul is talking about here is the succession of truth. He's talking about the passing down of truth from one generation to the other. If this hymn book represents truth this morning, folks, where did you and I get truth? We got it from the generation that preceded us. Where did they get truth? From the generation that preceded them. Where did they get truth? From the generation that preceded them. It's been handed to us. Handed to us. Now, there are five generations in this passage right here. I was hoping that, Brother Nima, some of those fourth, fifth, and sixth grade boys have been winning that contest. That's what they'd be good up here. I need some of you boys in that fourth, fifth, and sixth grade class. Who's in there? Are you in there, Nick? Come on up, Nick. Who else is in there? Christian, you in there? Okay, come on up. Who else is over there? Come on. Come on, Mark. Joe. All right, come on, Joe. I need two more. Come on, Andrew. That's fine. Who else? Max? Max, come on, Max. Okay, here we go. All right, good. Okay. We got five generations mentioned here in this chapter, okay? We're going to let Joe right here represent the Apostle Paul. He's the one writing to Timothy. We'll let Christian represent Timothy, okay? So, this is Paul. This is Timothy. He is writing to him. He says, now, I want you to take the things that I have heard among many witnesses. Look what he says there in verse number 2 again. The things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses. Paul said, I got some truth. Can you hold that for me, Joe? Okay. Paul said, I got some truth. Now, where did Paul get this truth? He got it from the people who came before him. Okay. So somebody handed truth to the Apostle Paul. And then the Apostle Paul said in these verses, he said, Timothy, I'm going to hand truth to you. And then he said, what I hand to you, I want you to commit to men who will then in turn teach others also. That's what your verse says then. Okay? So it started with those that came before Paul, the Apostle Paul, Truth began, and by the way, it started back before them actually. But he said, Timothy, somebody taught me. All right, let's pass it down, boys. I'm teaching you. You teach men who are going to teach others also. I got a little ahead of myself there. Teach others also. Somebody taught Paul. Paul taught Timothy. Timothy's supposed to teach men, and the men are supposed to teach others. Now, our problem is we don't understand how important this is right here. I don't mean the songbook. I mean truth. Folks, if we don't have truth, what are we going to do? Let me tell you, truth is not relative. Truth is absolute. And truth does not originate in Washington, D.C. In fact, you can't find much of it there. It does not originate in Moscow, London, Paris, any of the great cities of this world. Truth came from this book right here. This is where truth comes from. Okay? This is where truth is found. Truth, if we don't have truth, we don't know where we came from. If we don't have truth, we don't know where we're going. If we don't know truth, we don't know how to get along in this time. We don't know how to have a good marriage. We don't know how to rear children. We don't know how to do anything. We're sunk. Our ship is sunk. We don't have truth. So let me ask you a question. Is the succession of truth important? If it's important to hand truth down from generation to generation, I mean, it's extremely important because without it, our goose is cooked. Now, I want you to notice that when Paul wrote to Timothy, and Paul wrote Timothy, and he told Timothy, he said, the same things that I've taught you. He didn't say, just teach them to men. What did he say? The same commit thou to what? Faithful men. Why is that, folks? Because the succession of truth is incredibly important. And when God gets ready to hand truth down from generation to generation, He doesn't look for the intelligent. He doesn't look for the popular. He doesn't look for the wealthy. He doesn't look for the man who's prestigious in the eyes of men. He looks for faithful men. Faithful men. People who won't tamper with it. People who won't try to criticize it or analyze it. People who will receive it as it is, not the word of men, but in truth the word of God. And Paul said, Timothy, when you get ready to pass truth down, you better make sure that you hand it to faithful men. Faithful men. Faithful men. I can't think of anything more important than the succession of truth, the passing down of truth. And Paul said, when you pass it down from generation to generation, make sure you put it in the hands of faithful men. Faithful men. This is wonder. This is why it's so important. The succession of truth depends upon faithful men. This is how vitally important. The key to the succession of truth has been faithfulness. Thank you, fellas. I appreciate it. You guys helped. I appreciate that. Thank you very much. And I'd always like to stand up here in front of a crowd. But I have to every week, so it doesn't hurt them to once in a while. Now, seriously. The most important thing in life is the succession of truth from one generation to the other. And Paul said, Timothy, you look for faithful men. Men who can be counted on. You know what Proverbs said over Solomon said in the book of Proverbs? He said, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. You ever had a broken tooth? You ever had a foot out of joint? Yeah, I see Joe Griffin out there this morning, you know, limping along, twisted his ankle yesterday. You ever twisted your ankle? You know how bothersome that can be? A broken tooth, every time you chew, there's a... And Paul, right, Solomon said, confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth or like a foot out of joint. It just doesn't work. It's a pain. Oh my goodness, God help us if there's ever a drought of faithful people of God. If there's not an abundance of faithful people to God, we're in trouble. It's part of what I told Dave Hansing from People's Bank the other day. What's the secret? Committed people. Faithful people. This is why faithfulness is so important. It's important to God. God is faithful to us. The succession of truth from one generation to another depends upon faithfulness. My goodness, is that important? It's incredibly important. Number four. Let me talk about the importance of faithfulness. Number four. Faithfulness is a requirement for blessings. Faithfulness is a requirement for blessings. Proverbs 28 and verse 20. says this, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Remember that trust in God results in happiness or blessedness. That's what the word blessed means, happiness. Happy. And look at what the Bible says. A faithful man shall abound with blessings, shall abound with happiness. Faithfulness to God results in blessedness or happiness. And do you know why faithfulness results in happiness? I'm going to tell you why. Because faithfulness is required for usefulness. You know what's required in stewards? You know what God requires in order to use us? A high IQ. 30 years of Bible teaching and being saved. Nope, I'm sorry. That's not what God requires to use us. You know what He requires us to use us? Faithfulness. It's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. Now, if you're faithful, God can use you. Watch it. If you are useful in the work of God, you'll be happy. You'll be happy. If you're useful in the work of God, you'll be happy. And that's what the Bible says. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And you know what the greatest thing about that is? Everybody can be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. Not everybody can be smart. Not everybody can be popular. Who wants to be popular? That's crazy. Not everybody can be wealthy. Everybody can be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. I mean faithful. That's what I'm talking about. That's what everybody can be faithful. Faithfulness is important to God. God is faithful to us. Faithfulness is required in the succession of truth from one generation to another. And faithful people will be blessed. That's why you ought to be faithful. I got just a few minutes. How do I become faithful? What do I become faithful in? What do I do with? How do you get faithful when it comes to God? All right. I know you've heard it 100 times, but maybe not if you're new. Number one, church services. Church services. Be faithful to the services of the church. You know, Dr. Lee Robertson used to have a motto in his church down in Chattanooga, Tennessee. You know what that motto was? Three to thrive. Three to thrive. What's he talking about? He's talking about Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Three to thrive. You want to thrive as a child of God? Be in the services of the church. In fact, he was adamant about it. He wouldn't counsel people. People would call for counseling sessions. He wouldn't counsel them if they didn't come to church. I'm about the same way. What good are you going to do to counsel people if they won't darken the door of a church? That's a waste of time. Capital W. Waste of time. I mean, a waste of time. They said Brother Robinson, need some counseling. Need some counseling. Okay, send me after church on Sunday night. And he stayed right in the auditorium. Okay, what's your problem? Well, Brother Robinson, this. Okay, do you come to church 3 times a week? Well, you know, I can't get here. Oh, that's it. 3 to 5. Be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Next. Oh, yeah, you say, well, that didn't work. Oh, it didn't? Well, we had about 10,000 people and a college that was for years was the leading Christian institution in the land. Sent missionaries out to the tune of about, I don't know, around the world, 500 missionaries. Boy, tell me it didn't work, folks. Sure it worked. And I want to tell you something. Okay, Pastor Angel, if faithfulness is important to God, it's going to be important. What do I do to be faithful? Come to church services 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Look, this is new to several of you. I know it is. That blesses my heart. That blesses my heart. And you know, when something is new, it's exciting. But you know the newness is going to wear off. And you know that no two services are alike. Did you know that? You know, some services are so electric, you can cut it, and it just zzz, 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 zzz. Then you got some services like this morning. So I said today, I like to be up where you are. Sometimes just look out. I said, I don't know if you want to or not. It may be so discouraging. You have to ignore it sometimes. I have people staring off into space. It used to bother me. I just laughed. Water off a duck's back now. What am I going to do? Huh? Yeah. No two services are alike. That's what young preachers have to learn. You're not going to come in and robots. There's no, services are not cloned. We have an order of service that's the same. But I'm going to tell you something, no two services are alike. I like those electric ones. I do too. I don't like those boring ones. I don't either. And I'm the one up here, and I got to finish this, and you're bored. Oh, my goodness, that's tough. Yeah, faithful. I learned that was in the second year. I know. Okay. Yeah, I know Daniel was faithful. I know that. But I'll promise you something, friend. You just decide by the grace of God, when the doors of that place open, I'm going to park myself in that pew Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and I'm going to bring my Bible, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to do my best to listen. If he puts me to sleep, it's his fault. Amen? That's like the preacher looked out in the crowd and saw an old boy just... I was preaching in Dwight at a graduation years ago, Sunday afternoon. Let me suggest something to you, Brother Bragg. Never have a graduation on Sunday afternoon. Man alive. In May, the temperature's warming up and people are already tired. I was preaching away and I grabbed a microphone off the side, you know, and it wasn't live. And I said, hey, and I looked back and the sound man was like this. Looked at Brother Woodward, and he saw that, and we just died laughing. We said, forget it. It's over. Oh, my goodness. And this preacher looked at him, he said, Deacon, sitting next to him, said, wake that fella up. The deacon looked at him and hollered back, said, you put him to sleep, you wake him up. Amen. I knew this was not going to be like last week when I walked from this platform. The electricity is just not in the air this morning. It was last week, man. You could just, zzz, zzz, zzz. That's when it happens. I can't, hey, I'm not trying to drum something up here. And it'd be a cold day where the booger man lives where I put a set of drums up here and a guitar and try to work something up. We just have to have a boring service. Amen and amen. And sometimes it's the people that have been around the longest, you try to avoid their faces on Sunday morning. They're the most bored. I've done this for how many years now, you know. Huh? But I'm telling you, friend, you just be... And by the way, that's why they're still here. That's why a bunch of them worked in Yard Mart this week. Just faithful. 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 Faithful to the services of the church. Just faithful. Get there when the Word of God is taught. Get there when the Word of God is preached. You have no idea when some little thing will come from this pulpit, bang, God will change your life. Number two, be faithful to your devotions. Be faithful to your devotions. Read and pray. Try to every day. Now, you know what? I don't think anybody in this room, maybe there is, could stand and say, you know what? Every day of 2007, I never missed my devotions. And if you can say that, God bless you. I can't say that. I don't miss two. It ain't going to become a habit. And you can miss too many for your own good. Sometimes things happen. Get called out early, get going, and boy, you miss that time, and you're always going, I'll make it up later. You just don't. Do your best to read and pray every day. Can I make a suggestion to you folks who are newly saved? I would not set my goal on spending an hour every day. You know what I do right now? I do 10 minutes. I'd read 10 verses, and I'd pray for my wife, for my husband, my children. I'd pray for my friends, the ones that need to be saved. I pray for the people at the church. I pray for God help me to live for you. I try to have me a little prayer list at about 10 or 12 verses, maybe one chapter a day. And I do that every day. Day after day after day after day after day after day. Next week, we're going to give out that little book, Baptist Bread. It'll have devotions for the months of May and June. Every day. Just do it. Be faithful to your devotions. Read, pray. I don't have time. Oh, I know you don't have time because you got MySpace. I know. I understand that. And by the way, God does too. He understands that, you know, He left you a great book, has truth in it, but you don't have time to get to it because MySpace keeps you busy. And all the good things on MySpace. Hello? And when you stand, you just say, Lord, you know, if we didn't have MySpace, I'd have had time to read your book. I see. You have time for what you want to have time for. Church services, devotions, and then be faithful in your loyalty and allegiance to God. You think a good way to start being faithful? Go to work tomorrow. Got your lunch. Sit down with your friends. Bow your head and say to yourself. You don't. All right, let's pray. Bow your head quietly. Lord God, thank you for this food. Blessed be my body. What are you doing, man? Look at this. What did you find? You had Billy Bible. The church man. He's praying for his food. And just, you know, don't get offended. Don't get mad. Just say, yeah. I started going to church. I'm going to thank God for my food. That's all I did. Be loyal in your allegiance to God. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, whatever situation you're found in, just be faithful in your loyalty and your allegiance to God. I never forget years ago when I was in Washington. Man got saved, got right with God, started coming to church. He was a mechanic. Had a vile mouth. Worked on semi-trucks. Door of a semi-truck was open. He came around the corner in a hurry, not paying attention, his mind on his work, tools in his hand, didn't see the edge of that door open. Bam! And boy, they all waited. You know what they were used to? Blankety, blank, blank. Man, that hurt. Whoa. He didn't preach him a sermon, but he did preach a sermon. Because he didn't let those words go out of his mouth. He's loyal to God. Faithfulness in loyalty and allegiance to God. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. You can wait for some kind of cosmic experience, a zap from a lightning bolt to turn you into this spiritual superpower, a blazing S on your chest. That's never going to happen. You just be faithful to God. Faithful to God. Faithful. Faithful. Be faithful to God. And a faithful man shall abound. That's what he said. Let's pray together. Thank you for listening. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed.